The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Chapter 9. Imperialism, Nationalism, and War. Historian Erich Hobsbawm calculated that 187 million people died from wars in the last century, more than the total population in 1000 AD, and a tenth of the total world population in 1913. If the U.S. government has its way, this century promises similar, if not worse, barbarism. Given this grim picture, it is tempting to see war as something that is inherent in human nature, something we are hardwired to do. In this view, war comes from the fact that people naturally divide into groups, racial, ethnic, linguistic, and develop hostility to those that are different. This concept has been reinforced by various pseudoscientific studies that compare humans to other animals, though they are careful to choose only the aggressive ones, in order to show that we relish war. It may be true that human beings have the capacity for aggression, submission, and a host of other behavioral traits. But for every example of aggression in human behavior, we can also find peaceful cooperation and sharing. If human beings are naturally warlike, one wonders why it is necessary for governments to take young men at a very early age and put them through a rigorous retraining to make them capable of systematically killing other humans. The fight or flight instinct, after all, implies a basic capacity to engage in two opposite behaviors, depending on circumstances. In some pre-class societies, there was little or no warfare, as among the foraging Western Shoshone in the Southwest before European contact, for example. Anthropologist R. Brian Ferguson's partially finished survey of the archaeological record supports the view that systematic warfare did not emerge until around 10,000 years ago, when populations began to live in permanent settlements and develop social hierarchies. Moreover, the character of war in pre-class and pre-state societies, of which we have any record, was vastly different from modern warfare. There were no professional groups of fighters. Men were hunters or fighters, as conditions demanded. Often, war consisted of skirmishes that broke off as soon as anyone was killed or injured. Among Plain Indians, war parties tried to avoid combat that resulted in death and counting coup, i.e. touching an enemy's bod hand or a special stick, ranked as a higher feat than killing. Renegade Rhode Island colonist Roger Williams noted that the fighting between the Indian nations he observed was far less bloody and devouring than the cruel wars of Europe. According to Captain John Underhill, a leader of a massacre on an undefended Pequot village in 1637, a group of Narragansett Indians allied with the English withdrew from the attack, complaining that the English style of warfare, quote, slays too many men. War wasn't as prevalent in pre-class societies for the simple reason that such societies didn't produce surpluses over and above their subsistence needs. Nor could one person be enslaved by another for the simple reason that no one could be forced to produce wealth above and beyond their own subsistence needs. This explains why in earlier forms of warfare, captives were either killed or simply adopted by the winning side. And war itself often consisted of skirmishes producing light casualties. Only with the rise of agriculture and the production surplus, which in turn produced the first ruling classes, i.e. the keepers of the surplus, did warfare become a systematic practice, engaged in by specially armed subjects of a ruler in order to gain extra surplus and slaves. The rulers, in turn, created loyalty among their armed retainers by giving out the spoils of conquest, land, slaves, and goods. But the struggle for the surplus didn't just produce wars between rival kingdoms. Class society also gave rise, inevitably, to violent conflict between social classes over how the surplus was used. Systematic warfare came with the emergence of the state, of special armed bodies whose purpose was both to protect the position of the minority who controlled the surplus from the majority who produced it, as well as pillage the wealth produced by other groups. Modern warfare has economic rather than biological roots. In the modern world, undoubtedly the most potent cause of war is economic rivalry, a purely cultural phenomenon having no biological basis whatsoever, wrote anthropologist Ashley Montague. But even the wars of conquest and plunder by Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire pale in comparison to war as it is developed under capitalism. End of section.